Alrighty, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Crypto Catch Up. My name's Ted, and I'm joined by look who it is. Babs back.
Back.
Mate, what happened? We thought you were gone forever after your big feature on Sky News.
Mate, it felt like I was gone forever. The kids were sick.
Okay. So it wasn't you getting too big for your boots?
Part of me wish it was.
Yeah.
I was really ready to live that BitBoy lifestyle.
Your head can barely fit through the door now.
There it is.
Been on the news.
Yeah, very good. I would have used that same one.
Yeah. Good. No, but look, Pav, what a week, hey? Like, Tommy and I...
Yeah, you guys did well.
Yeah.
It's good story last week. I like the left translated cycle theory.
Yeah, you like that?
Good.
Okay.
Good. If you haven't checked it out, recommend go watching it.
Absolutely. So what me and Tommy discussed last week was, like, things were getting very frothy and just, like, meme coins were running hot and we thought we were potentially due for a correction. We did get a bit of a correction, but wasn't as big as I was anticipating. Like, I think...
Pretty big.
I mean, what was it, 15%?
Most altcoins took a dip about 25 to 30%.
Okay, altcoins, but in terms of Bitcoin, about 15%.
Yeah,
and then
pretty big.
Look at us, we've today as a...
You just want more blood. You just...
Oh, mate, yeah.
A hellhound.
Yeah, I need that blood sacrifice.
moving along.
But yeah, we're back. 72K USD or over 100K AED. We're in an all-time high.
This is... I've been waiting to use this word for a long time. We're in price discovery.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's two words.
That is two words. That's how long I've been waiting. Screwed it up.
But look, we haven't seen this before a bull market hitting an all-time high. So.
No. So how do you feel about that? Nervous? Excited?
I am excited. Like, it's a bit, I guess we're in uncharted territory now.
Mm.
So we're kind of, I mean, I'm sure you've mapped everything out and know exactly where the market's going. But
I wish.
In terms of, like, if you want to pull up that chart that kind of compares this cycle to the last couple cycles.
Let's get that up, shall we?
Yeah. Perfect. So as you can see, we've followed like a very similar trajectory to the 2016 halving and then the 2020 halving. Only difference is those happened after the halving, whereas we're right before it. So only time will tell. But yeah, I guess, what do you have to make of it, Pav?
It is a different cycle this time, which is a very nothing answer. But I've already said this a couple of times. I'm just looking at what's moving the market right now and just paying attention to that as like... Is there any changes there? And then observe what it does to price. But for me, it's all about the ETFs. Like, you hear it everywhere. You're probably sick of it. You're probably bored of it. You probably don't want to hear it again. But it literally is what's driving a lot of the narrative right now. So, I mean, if I had to quickly bring up something that everyone should half know what it means, this is a website you can access for free, farside.co.uk. Shout out to those guys. But they provide, I guess, the most accurate and latest data when it comes to the ETF flows. So what we're talking about there is the ETF could essentially trade overnight in the US session and you could have lots and lots of volume, but unless there's actually positive flows to Bitcoin being bought and not being sold, you don't really know if it's bullish or bearish for price. Mm-hmm. So all you need to really care about on this table is this total column. So if this is black and high, it means that there's more and more Bitcoin being taken out of circulation and being put away in these custodians. And so far, the front runner has been this first one, IBIT. That's the BlackRock product. It's just been absolutely demolishing it when it comes to the total volumes. You know, as long as this is still in my book showing black and it's close to the averages, which is $237.6 million each day of net buying, I think there's not really too much negative you can see in the market, particularly when there's this sort of type of money coming in every day.
Yep.
But if we start to see lots of red or selling, so, you know, we had this one blip day back here where we had more selling than buying. If we see a couple of consecutive days of selling, that's when I'd probably be starting to look at the charts and look for, okay, are we at potential areas where people might be trimming, taking profits, realizing gains, that sort of thing. So, I mean, looking at this particular chart, I guess for those listeners at home tuning in via the Spotify, we've got like a current map of the market cycle from top to bottom. We've used Fibonacci from top to bottom. And yeah, the 1.272 ratio is about $83.5K. So that's probably an area where if we start to see ETF selling when we move into it, I probably might be concerned and think about a pullback, especially so close to the halving. So, I mean, a potential scenario that I'm wondering if we get is just a continued move up to some level like this before we get some sort of pullback and retracement.
So around 83,000 US?
Yeah, that's like the next target. But I mean, there's nothing to say you don't just go straight through that, head up to 100K, which is the next level, which is the 161% ratio.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to consolidate as well. So I still think we're due for a consolidation at some stage, but it's about working out at what point the market is pricing in that consolidation period.
Yep.
And when we do get that consolidation period, I dare say that's when we start to see the altcoins really start to expand and explode. So I still think the altcoins will be on the move now as Bitcoin's moving up as well, especially things like Solana, which has been outperforming Bitcoin this whole cycle so far. Mm-hmm. But in terms of where I see Bitcoin going, what's worth paying attention to, it seems like, especially with this weekly close that we just had, I wouldn't be surprised if we just still keep going, at least for this week and next week. And then we'll see what things hold for us in the coming weeks.
Yep. And I'll just remind everyone, Pav's showing us a chart and he's doing some drawing on it. So if you want to go check out what he's actually, or what we're looking at, feel free to go over to our YouTube channel. We'll post clips. We'll post a full episode so you can get a bit more context as to what we're referring to.
Come check out the squiggles.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Ted, I mean, that's my take. What about you? Like, what else have you kind of been keeping an eye on lately?
Oh, listen, well, I saw an interesting little feature where, so you're referring to the, obviously, the ETFs having a huge impact on price at the moment. Fidelity, as you mentioned, one of those big asset managers that are offering the ETF, BlackRock as well.
Mm-hmm.
Saw this interesting article where Fidelity are actually including crypto, in particular Bitcoin, as part of their investment portfolios. And these are like, you know, conservative investment ETFs. So it's kind of like there's four different options. There's the conservative ETF fund. There's the all-in-one balanced ETF fund. There's the all-in-one growth ETF. And there's the all-in-one equity ETF. And all four of them include crypto.
1 year ago, this would have been spat at.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. So we're not talking huge amounts in each of the portfolios. It ranges between 1-3%, but it's, you know, it's still a huge step and a huge milestone, especially in the, you know, in what is considered like a conservative investment option, right?
Yeah, I mean, and these are products that are having regular contributions or flows to on an ongoing basis, like annualized. So, you know, as much as we think about the halving, we think about things like fear and greed, RSI, blah blah blah, sometimes you can't just really overthink this. It literally is a whole new wave of money entering the space that could never enter before. So this is why I just think it's so hard to price in where this is all going right now.
Absolutely. And don't be surprised if 1-5 years down the track, we're seeing that 1-3% at like, you know, 10-15% or something.
Absolutely.
Like that. And I think BlackRock's doing something similar where they've applied to include the Bitcoin ETF as part of their broader sort of ETF offering. So obviously, I think a lot of the asset managers will start to do this because there is that demand at the moment. Another thing I want to touch on that kind of talks about the, I guess, retail getting back into the market. Obviously, we're talking about institutions and entities when getting into the SMSFs, but a good little stat here is, so the Coinbase app, which is a good, you know, it's probably the most retail-centric app in the US for trading crypto. So about 2 months ago, they were ranked 500 on the App Store for most popular apps. Fast forward to today, it's sitting at 45. I see this as a good indication for, you know, the retail market getting back in. Yep. Obviously, you know, it's not the only indicator. Like, we look at search volumes on Google and trends like that. But it's one of those things where, you know, in the last few weeks, we've talked about how we just don't quite see retail back in yet. I think I think we're still early days, but we're now starting to see a little bit more.
Yeah.
Take notice, especially as Bitcoin's starting to get into the news. It's talked about all-time highs. People are starting to take notice.
All-time highs will do it for most people because no matter when you bought, as long as you're holding and you hadn't sold and regret it, you're in profit right now, at least on Bitcoin. A lot of altcoins are still underwater.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the same vein of things, Michael Saylor's back at it again. Who would have thought?
Shock. I feel like every week we're talking about Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy buying more Bitcoin.
Yeah, so their stock price has hit new all-time highs at the same time. But what's the date on this? 10 p.m. March 11th, so just yesterday from our recording date. Yeah, another almost $1 billion used to purchase Bitcoin. And they've actually done it by converting basically on-ledger assets that they had for their company into cash and then turning that cash into Bitcoin. So they basically don't see any other investment for them other than crypto right now, or Bitcoin specifically, I should say. So
Our video producer Daniel made an interesting comment saying, like, what do the staff at MicroStrategy do? Like, it just seems like they buy Bitcoin, which is probably not far from the truth. Like, it used to be a software company, and now it's literally just all about Bitcoin acquisition.
Just everyone's buying, hitting the buy button.
Absolutely. Sounds like a good gig.
Sounds like a good gig.
Yeah.
And then also, just in a bit of a side bit of news, I think we were talking about this last week of the week before. I think you asked me about it, like, does Donald Trump care about Bitcoin? And we were like, we don't know. He apparently thinks it has some additional form of use. So, I mean, it's stuff like this that I think it just adds to what you were saying, like the whole Coinbase in the App Store, it's coming back up to, you know, being in the top 10. We're seeing it in the news, seeing Donald Trump now talk about it, presidential candidates.
I don't know if Trump personally is actually a fan of Bitcoin.
No.
I just think it supports his kind of push for presidency to get behind it, because it is pretty popular right now.
Yeah.
But he has talked about, I think, you know, Trump likes to have full control, and with Bitcoin, he doesn't have full control.
So no one does.
I don't know if he's a huge fan of that.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's just, again, it's adding to this idea that we might start to see it more and more come into conversations.
Yeah.
This is kind of the way I'm looking at it. Top movers.
Top movers.
This is going to get old real quick. Just green bubbles every week.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if there's much to make of here. Like, there's not any, like, standout narratives. Like,
what are you talking about?
Well, there's meme coins.
Yeah, meme coins.
There's meme coins. There's gaming coins. There's AI-focused coins, which we're going to touch on later, and, like, whether they actually there's any utility there. Hey. So, but, yeah.
Spoiler. But, I mean, for me, it's just we're almost doing a Q3, Q4 2023 replay is the way I'm seeing some of these movements. Things like Pyth, things like AGIX, GRT, Near and Rune, Render, like these were all pumping towards the end of last year. So it almost seems like they're going for their second leg right now. So it'll be interesting to see if that continues. Other ones that haven't quite done a week-to-week move as much as I'd expect is AVAX. You might see that one potentially continue if the rest of the market continues. That was a high performer. TIA, I know we were talking about that almost weekly at one stage, just making new highs.
Yep.
So there's a few here that might just be lagging behind under the general market velocity. And Aave2 is a notable one as well. That was quite big in Q3, Q4 as well. But yeah, not really a great deal else that looks different. I mean, Matic, I guess we could talk about that. I mean, that's up 9%, which is nothing, but that's been long criticized as doing nothing for quite some time. So yeah. I wonder if that's about to start to do something.
It's good to see it finally moving. I think in the last month or so, it's up about 50%. Don't quote me on that, but you know, it's done a lot.
Well, we will quote you on that.
Oh God, here we go.
No, you're pretty much spot on. Yeah, and I know they've got we talked about this actually, you know, I think a research report we wrote once. They've got a rebrand coming up as well.
Yep.
So I know they did that last cycle. They went from Matic to
They went from Matic Network to Polygon.
And
now in this case, the Matic token is changing to Pol token.
PML. Okay. So could Lightning strike twice?
I mean, I don't know a whole heap about the token redenomination, whatever they call it. Like I know they've said that they'll have more, I guess, favorable tokenomics. Obviously, with a rebrand of this kind, like there's going to be a lot of chatter and, you know, a lot of buzz about it. So that might trigger some volatility. But I personally sold out of my Matic. I was like, this isn't exciting enough.
What'd you go into?
This
isn't exciting enough.
I sold into Beam.
Beam. Oh, yeah. Beam's been a great thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at Beam. Nothing but up.
Yeah.
It's only had like 3 red weeks in its life.
Yeah. I just wanted some, you know.
Just some gaming exposure?
Yeah, some exposure to gaming.
Yeah, nice.
Making sure I've got some fingers in different sectors.
Yep, very good. Diversification.
That's it, mate.
But let's talk about this AI thing you teased. What did you read into this one? I know it was a Crypto News Australia article.
Yeah, so basically Coinbase, they have a good reporting team. They bring out, you know, like reports probably every month or so, and they're really well researched. And
go check them out.
Yeah, I recommend going and checking them out because they're always super quality. So in this report, they've basically said that they don't reckon there's that much utility in AI crypto coins, which I guess we've spoken about a lot. And like the recent growth in all the AI coins is just purely based on hype, which I don't think is too far from the truth. I think like the growth of AI in general, not in crypto, but in general is driving this. And I think with crypto becoming more bullish, it becomes, you know, a pretty attractive narrative.
Yeah.
But that's probably as far as it goes. Like in terms of the report, they actually recommended or highlighted some opportunities for like a synergy between AI and crypto. And so these are the three things they covered off on is one is creating human readable transactions. I guess, you know, transactions are a bunch of numbers and letters on a page. So I guess making that a little bit more user-friendly or digestible. The next one is improving on-chain data analytics and making something of that, like deciphering that and delivering it in a visible, digestible way, and then using AI-generated content on-chain.
AI-generated content on-chain. What was the example of that?
I don't know, but I'm assuming it's like AI videos and sharing them on-chain. That's what I make of that.
Okay. I mean, I think we had this conversation, I want to say at lunchtime one day, random. I'm just going to bring it up now again. I think as much as we think it's a pretty similar opinion that a lot of it is just hype and speculation, there are still some projects that are at least building the infrastructure for the hype.
Yes.
So like Render, the Graph, there was even Fetch AI becoming like a marketplace almost for decentralized AI applications.
Yep.
So do your research. Like there is still ways to navigate how you could potentially, I guess, capitalize on this potential hype and speculation without having to risk too much in a project that may or may not ever deliver. Similar to how you said Beam for getting into gaming, where you don't have to actually invest in a gaming studio, but you invest in like the game, it's I guess ecosystem itself.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
What I want to ask you before we move on to the next one is, does it even matter if there's utility now? Like there's so much hype and so much bullish sentiment that like, and we brought up a graphic a few weeks ago that showed like the most searched category or the most searched points within a category was AI on CoinGecko. So there's just so much like retail demand for it. What do you make of that?
I mean, everyone's in crypto for one reason. It is to like make those returns on your money, I guess. You're not...
Not me. I'm passionate about the tech.
Well, I was just going to say, that's the meme. Everyone's passionate about the tech.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think someone maybe one day could solve a problem with AI. Like, I do see there being a genuine problem with censorship in AI modeling. Like, you see right now, Elon throws a lot of shade at Gemini, which is the Google product. And what's the other one he's throwing shade at the moment? Oh, what was it? Anyway, he's basically criticizing the current AI LLMs for censoring and providing, you know, when they do image generations, doing like diversification in their image generating, which isn't truly net random in nature. Like you can see like there's human meddling in what should be a random number generated event. So you're kind of like taking away from the organic and simplicity of like how it's meant to operate. So in a roundabout way, like it may provide some decentralization to that. But I mean, are people going to value that? I highly doubt it.
I just don't think like there's a need for decentralization with AI at the moment. Like it's so new and fresh. Like why take it decentralized? Like I get a finance where it's been around for centuries and it's like, this is a new form of that, but AI is just so new. Like, so I think it's mainly built on hype.
Definitely. Yeah. Likely. But I mean, here's the thing. Like we just don't know, like no one saw AI coming, right? And the way it's evolved, we've got, you know, text to video. It might be good for developing networks for more cost-effective AI solutions, which we might find over time get more expensive. Who knows?
One thing that I want to highlight is I'm looking to get diversification in the crypto AI, but just because I want to, you know, tick all those boxes across gaming, deep in AI, you know, layer ones, layer twos, just so I have a diversified portfolio. So I still got to do my research into, you know, which ones provide the infrastructure rather than just built on hype. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm sitting at the moment.
No, that makes sense. I like that. Robinhood.
Yeah, quick one. So this one is just a bit of a, you know, a decent partnership to highlight between Robinhood. So they're like a retail stocks trading app that actually introduced crypto in the last cycle, I believe.
Yeah, lots of altcoins being listed on Robinhood as we speak. Think Dog with Hat made a recent appearance.
Yeah, they were kind of, you know, in the headlines for that GameStop pump. Remember the GameStop pump?
That was
they were kind of like, and Robinhood actually prevented people from buying it. So that caused a lot of controversy.
Good Netflix documentary about that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. But anyway, they've teamed up with Arbitrum to basically offer quicker and more efficient transactions on the Ethereum network.
So, get some swaps on.
Yeah, good to see like the Web2 companies starting to dive a little bit deeper into the blockchain world and making sure they're offering the best product for their users.
There you go. Give users. People what they want. And then I guess lastly, Cathie Wood. She's always known for throwing out some outlandish price targets. I think 1 million is her current sort of key message that she's getting out there by 2030.
Yep. So she jumped on a New Zealand television show and basically said, a million is still their target for 2030. That's for the Bitcoin price.
Mm.
But made an interesting statement that said, like, now that they've gotten the green light for the ETFs, that basically they've brought that timeline forward. So she didn't say, when, but she said that pretty much brings it forward. And so who knows? But to hit a million from here is about a, you know, 1,300% increase. So
we've seen wilder things
in about 6 years or less, as she's suggesting. We have seen wilder things, But man, that's
pretty outlandish.
That would is yeah crazy. But look,
I think everyone that's been around the space for a while then is a bit of a public figure, like Arthur Hayes, co-founder of BitMEX back in the day. He's been saying 1 mil nonstop. So is Michael Saylor.
Yep.
In some of his tweets, he says Bitcoin's only worth 0.07 million, not high enough, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they've all got this $1 million complex.
Interesting. Anyway, we'll have to wait and see if that plays out. 6 years, that is.
6 years.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? Is that a wrap?
Yeah, I think we wrap it up there. Yeah. I'm just keen to see how this next week plays out.
Yeah, I think even since we started looking at the weekly movers, something's already jumped up a bit more. So, I don't know, Arweave wasn't there a second ago. So, now it's up 40%.
Yep.
Nice. I feel like that's going to be a common theme. Exciting times ahead.
Cool. Well, guys, we have got a guest on next week. So, make sure you tune in for that one. And go check out our socials, in particular YouTube, if you want to see the video of what we're looking at. Other than that, thanks, Pav.
Thanks, Ted.
Catch you guys next week.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's show. If you liked it, don't forget to head over to the gram and join us at Tapping Into Crypto. And before we finish up, just a general disclaimer that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only. And the opinions on this podcast belong to individuals and are not affiliated with any companies mentioned. Any advice is general in nature and does not take into account your own personal situation. If you're looking to get advice, please seek out the help of a licensed financial advisor. We'll talk to you soon.